and explained it in a chassidish way, how it should help each one of us. And from the first Torah he begins a lesson. There's a very famous lesson that Rav Nachman said. And before I explain the lesson, I always say one of the first things I learned when I became a Bresler Chassid, I was zeicher to become a Bresler Chassid a long time ago. And what I learned, the first thing I learned, how generally we are unhappy people. We love to kvetch, we love to criticize. And like I always joke with people, no one went to a therapist and said to the therapist, I don't know how to kvetch, I don't know how to criticize, I don't know how to be depressed, I need. That comes by itself. There's a motor underneath it that drives us to be negative. I once spoke to a group of women. I asked them all, is anyone in this room, the wives, says they feel appreciated? You know, some of them have great marriages, but to be appreciated, we men or we spouses know how to criticize very quickly. You know what I always tell people? That the card companies, what is it called? Hallmark. I didn't realize, someone explained to me, it's a $1 billion business. I thought it was a small business. Why is it a $1 billion business? We don't know how to say, I love you. I need a car to tell me. I always say, oh, a story has been one of my daughters, I went to shopping at Ralph's, and I come to Ralph's and I ask her, why is there such a line at the cards? So you don't know, it's Mother's Day. So I told my daughter, okay, we'll do the shopping, and we'll come back and see if they're still standing there. And 20 minutes later, the half of the people still standing. So I tell my daughter, you think when he called up his mother and he wanted to criticize his mother, he waited 20 minutes, which word should I use? What should I say? And called my mother and I just gave it her. All of a sudden, you got to say, I love you, I thank you, this is too mushy, this is not good enough, and this is all of a sudden, we don't know how to be happy, kind, complimentary. The positive things of us lack enormously. To criticize, no one, you know, we all know how to be critical, we all know how to be unhappy, we all know how to do kvetch, but to be deeply happy, that needs a workout, as we say, to be deeply happy. So, one of the things that Rav Nachman explains, one of the things that he explains in he has a very famous lesson, which is called a Zamra. Zamra means, a Zamru lelekai, I sing to Hashem ba'oidi. We say this in morning davening. A Zamra means I sing. Lelekai ba'oidi is a instrument in Hebrew. It's called the Ud. Anyone who knows Hebrew, I don't know how it's called in English, Ud. It's called in English, Ud. Yeah, it's a small, right. So it's called the Ud, but that's the simple translation. But it's very interesting. A Zamri lalekai be'oidi. To explain this, anyone who learns says Tilam knows that Tilam is really incredible amount of Ruach HaKodesh written. So when David HaMelech chose words, there is incredible deep Kabbalistic meanings. Is I sing to my Shem be'oidi. With an Ud, why did he choose that instrument? So Rav Nachman explains, there's a very, very powerful thing. He says that a person should always look at themselves in a positive way, believe it or not. Believe it or not, you should find, we get down, we all, as I said, I always say this to people, I don't know anyone who gets up in the morning and screams, yippee, I'm alive. We wake up in the morning and we hope. Sometimes we say, do I have to get up today? Can I hide under the covers for 3 days? Maybe I should, you know, hide there and stay there. There's a part of us who just, and even though we are so incredible blessed, it's incredible, we're living in a time when the blessings are unbelievable, but still, no one wakes up in the morning and, wow, I'm alive. We just don't do that. That's the reality. We wake up in the morning and we snooze the clock once, twice, it depends how many times. We don't have that. So this is just general. But sometimes Most often people not only don't want to get up in their bed, but most people walk around unhappy. You know, my own experience, I happen to be extremely lucky. I had a very happy father. I was incredibly blessed with such a good father. I remember as a young 12-year-old boy walking around thinking, why is no one smiling like my father? You know, and I noticed that very few people smile all the time. And if you smile, what's that all about? You know what I mean? Even though you walk into a place, the first face you notice is a smiling face. You ever notice that the first, it's a powerful drawing thing. But we're not naturally happy. So Nachman says a person should focus and find good parts in themselves. Because you wake up and say, I am such a schlamazel and I've done this and I've done this. He says, and in the Kitoman, he explains, most people are so far removed from Hashem because they are self-critical. You know, people have told me, I heard this from lots of people who told me they have a tape in their mind always being critical because they were raised in a very critical home. They have to rewrite the tape. You have to rewrite the tape not to be critical. You should focus on the good deeds that you do. You know what's amazing? Most often we focus on things we don't get credit. I happen to be tall. If I would walk around saying, wow, I'm tall, I was born that way. I have no credit. I did nothing. I didn't choose my height. If I happen to be intelligent, it was given to me. There's nothing that I did for that. You could be proud if you worked on something and you gained something. So Nachman says you should focus on the good deeds that you have, because he explains, and Nachman is going to explain over here, that the good deeds that you do, that is the connection you have with God. Just the fact that I put on tefillin, or I said a prayer, or I kept kosher. Every small thing that you do, you should say, wow, I am doing good. But this propels a person to not to become so depressed. See, we naturally, again, we are naturally depressed people. And naturally, besides being depressed, obviously, I don't mean clinical depressed. Generally speaking, watch your own moods. If you monitor your moods, you see most of us are most of the time unhappy for no valid reason. Isn't that amazing? You know, you look around teenagers, they have really nothing to worry about, and they walk around Baruch Hashem, I had a bunch of children and had the last one, but she's still a teenager. You know, I mean, it is. Like, most of us walk around not in a happy mood. And what it does also when you're not happy, you're not close to Hashem. Because when you're unhappy, you can't have... I always explain this in the most simple way. You ever notice unhappy people have a very hard time having a relationship with others? When you're happy, your relationship is much, much better. You know, when you're in a happy mood, you could be there for your spouse, you could be there for your friends. When you walk around unhappy, all you think and you're preoccupied is with your pain. I have pain, and I'm hurt, and I'm angry, and I'm this, and that, and happy people are much easier to get along because they could be there for the other person. So the halavdil in the relationship with Hashem is the same thing. If you want to be close to God, when you're happy, it helps. But what he's saying, I'm not really saying much, you should find the goodness in you. And it's amazing, when you do find something's goodness, then the Yetzer Hara says, nah, that's nothing. What is that all about? It's amazing how the Yetzer Hara works. And you should keep on finding good, things about yourself. And slowly, he says, that's how music develops. I don't know, musicians love this lesson of Nachman, because he literally says that by finding the good things of yourself, you really connect the different notes, and this is how music becomes developed. He even says more profound, which the Lekit Halachos doesn't talk about it over here, but she also says in a much more profound way, he says, when if you look at someone You look, watch someone, you should find the good things about them. You ever notice we have a supercomputer in our head? We look at someone and we notice exactly what's wrong with them. Nobody says, wow, what a religious person. Wow, another Jew, another religious Jew. We have, quickly we size him up. Is he my cup of tea? Not my cup of tea. Is he, what type of a chassid, what type of a litvak, what type of, you know, we judge, you know, so quickly, and we don't see the goods. That's the nature of people. The nature, you see someone, a lady told me an incredible mushroom. Someone told me a lady once told me there's a study in UCLA that someone made a beautiful mosaic from tiles, a beautiful paint, an incredible picture. You left out one tile, and they lined up a lot of people to comment on the picture. First thing everyone said, there's a tile missing. Let me tell you, one of my granddaughters, she's already, she's 12 years old, can I know how to tell you? She's 13 already. But anyway, she was 5 years old. I won't forget this. My wife and my daughter went to the zoo, and I picked them up, I dropped them off, and I picked them up. And I say, Miriam, what did you see in the zoo? The first thing she tells me, that the polar bear cage was empty. I ask again, Miriam, what did you see in the zoo? I ask her, Miriam, what was in the zoo? Again, she answers me, so I ask my wife and daughter, what is this all about? You know, I didn't remember how the zoo works. The first thing you come in is, you see a polar bear? No. They ask about it. Oh, do you see? Oh, I saw a giraffe in the line. So I asked her, was the first thing you come in, Paul? But no, middle of the zoo. First thing is the penguin, she explained to me. Middle of the zoo, there's a cage. And the polar bear was really died. But she didn't want to tell it to go. So she told my granddaughter, it's empty. So the first thing she told me, the polar bear cage is empty. We right away see what's wrong, not what's right. That's how our mind works. And Nachman says, when you look at someone, you should focus the good things in them. You should see, and he says a profound, profound thing. When you look at someone in a positive way, you could literally bring them back and make them from. No matter how they were religious and he became who knows what. Because in every Jew, there's goodness. And every Jew has, the essence of a Jewish soul is good. So if you focus on a person, and you think about the goodness, you literally bring the goodness up. It's an expression, ma'at min ha'choshech, a little light, doichahar min ha'choshech, a little light to push away all the darkness. So there's a pasuk he quotes, it's a pasuk in Tillim, Lamed Zayin says, oid ma'at ve'ein rosha, in a little bit, just look, oid ma'at, look at him just a little bit. Focus. He's benam to al mekoymoi, and you look at him, and he's not there. He's becoming a tzaddik. But it's an amazing thing that you could, if you look at the goodness of a person, you focus, you literally help the person get in touch with his goodness, and that itself can make you religious. The same thing as yourself. Now we walk around, like I said, we walk around unhappy for silly reasons. The bottom line is, most of us tomorrow morning are not going to get up and scream, yay, we woke up. You know, we're going to wake up and we say, do we really have to wake up? You know, maybe I could stay under the covers, and maybe I don't have to get up. And, you know, in Yiddish there's a saying, sometimes people wake up when the bed spits them out. You know what I mean? There's a famous Yiddish saying. You know, it's like, and because, as I said, we don't walk around with the happiness in our heart. So what he's saying is, focus on the goodness about yourself and others. Don't be busy. And that will help you become a much happier person. So he says, it says the word, the Iro HaShuchar, wake up the dawn. Shuchar is the dawn. The Shulchan Aruch begins, Yizgabe Kuari. So what he's trying to explain, in Kita Aruch is over here, that just like a person sleeps, and he's asleep, right? Then he wakes up. There's a concept that you walk around your life is a zombie, you're asleep. You know, I once, on Yom Tov, I spoke in shul, And I said, sometimes people, in the whole year, they look, you know, before Rosh Hashanah, I tell them, you look back, you certain people cannot account for certain few weeks in the year. They don't know what, someone screams out to them, a few weeks? How about 6 months? You know, sometimes people walk around, whatever it is, it'll be stress, whatever, they can't even give an account, what happened to them then? They are in a daze, sort of to say. It's like sleeping. You know, there's a very famous Gemara to explain this concept. It's a very, very famous Gemara in the Sechtes Chagiga, where the Gemara relates that there was a person who, Nuchamish Gamzi, there was a person who went to sleep and he slept 70 years. A long Gemara about this. The Rizal explains, the Chazal wanted to show us, you could live 70 years, but you're not living. Now, I'm sure we all have days. What did I do today exactly? I don't remember. You don't feel you lived. Many of us walk around and we just on automatic pilot. Like, I got to do this, I got to do this, and it's got to be this, and I did it, and I checked it off, and what happened today? You know, it's sometimes that means you're not alert. That means your mind is asleep. You're doing the things that you got to do. You got to do this, you got to do this. So how does a person wake up? And wake up and be close to Hashem. The waking up is, how do we have a relationship with Hashem? Before I go on, I always say a very, very powerful marshal. My oldest daughter's Kanai Nahor, married a long time. So because I have a 15-year-old granddaughter already. So I always say the story when she started dating. And those days there was no fact, there was no email, but I changed the story to make it the update. And I tried to explain to her, she was 18 years old, what do you have a look in the husband? So I asked her, the two types of chassanim. The chassan. One type of a chassan is, the caller emails him a list of 10 things. A list of 10 things. And this chassan, when you email the caller emails him a list to take of 10, he does it chick-chock. Does it, as you say in America, crosses every T, dots every I. As we call it in Yiddish, we call it Yeka. Yeka is like a German. Like, he does exactly, immediately. And everything was taken care of immediately. He's extreme. He's very moved. He doesn't send her flowers. Doesn't send the IMS, IMs, or, you know, all these lovely, cute things. He doesn't send her nothing. He's removed. No romance. But, you know, she calls him. She emails him. He's doing everything immediately. Now you have another chassan. The caller emails him a list of 10. First of all, he answers, I don't know, I didn't get 10, I got 8 only. I don't know, 2 got deleted. Then he says, from the 8, I only could take care of 6. I can't take care of it. And the 6, it's not going to be so quickly. And it's like when I do the shopping, it's the wrong brand. You know, I do the shopping, my wife wants this, I get the wrong pasta and the wrong tomato sauce. But he's busy sending flowers and romance, and he's busy. So I said to my daughter, imagine a guy with sitting on the couch and saying poems and poetry. The wife is going to take the pot and bang him over the head. I don't know, you sit over here, play the guitar and then say love stories. Go get a job! You can't have just the love, and you can't have someone removed. You know, part of us is extremely removed. What happens to us, that often people, which is very important, we cross every T, we forget we have a relationship with God. The romance with Hashem. We just do it, I gotta daven, I gotta do this, I gotta do this, and we forget that we have to be. You know, I have a relative who, today probably they have a name for these labels. Today everything has a label. But when I was young, he's a little bit my age, and he's slow, and he tells me, calls me up, and I'm having a date. And he's telling me he went to he checked out the restaurant before, and he drove around, and he looked at what food he's selling. I tell him, I speak to him in Yiddish, I say, Moshe, you know, the date is not about the food and which restaurant. The date is you got to look at the girls in the eye and talk to her and connect. But he was so busy with extremities, the silverware and the what food they are eating, he forgot that he's meeting a girl. we'll have to do the same thing. We forget that we have a relationship with Hashem. We get caught up with the details. It's like the yakke, like explain to my daughter, you're going to have a husband. He's going to be great. He's going to do everything, but he's going to be removed. You can't live this way. And if a guy is all he does is romance, you also can't live this way. Playing the guitar and writing poems all day long, you'll go crazy. It doesn't work. So a marriage needs both. So the elahavdil by us, what happens to us, we only have, we focus very much on the details. We forget that we are in the relationship with Hashem. And to wake that up in us, because see, we don't see Hashem. Our biggest challenge is your wife, your children, your friends, you connect, you see, you interact, and we're there for each other. But your own, what's his name? But Hashem, I don't see him. I have to davening. I wish I could feel a hug from him. And I put so much into my davening. But that's the challenge. The challenge is that we don't see him. That is the biggest challenge. The biggest challenge of spirituality is we do not see Hashem. We have to do the full work in the relationship. It's not like, you know, a married couple, you both do what you need to do, and the relationship works. Here, we are so working on the relationship. So, what Ranachman says, you have to focus to make the relationship with Hashem, because most people, you know, go walk around unhappy, this, you know, removed from Hashem. You know what I tell people? I've noticed that young people, the last few years, they ask each other, how's your relationship going? How's your shalom bayis? My days when I was married, you didn't dare ask anyone like such a question. But I do notice in the younger generation, I have to hear this all the time. How's your shalom bayis going? How's your shalom bayis going? Is it better now? Yeah, you ask someone, how's your relationship with God? He looks at you, what? You're either flaky about tshuva or you're a Talmud for Shlomo Kalbach. That's what people are saying. What do you mean? What is this having a relationship with Hashem? What is this? Just come on, say Dvar Torah, you know, say Gemara, you know, just to having. We forget that this is one of the most important thing is people are removed from Hashem, and one of the reasons Nachman explains because we're not in touch the good deeds that we do. And in order you focus, just like I want to say a personal story that I did. You know, I'm very proud that I did it, but I don't like to publicize. But it woke me up so much. 3 years ago, you know, my wife isn't well, and she's much better today. And my two daughters were working so hard for Pesach, so I wanted to surprise them to buy them jewelry. So I didn't know how, you know, teenagers, anyone who has I have nine or eight daughters, you know, it's very hard to buy jewelry for them. But, so I came up with a plan. I have a very good friend, and this lady who sells jewelry, and I said to her, I need to get them jewelry, but you know how girls are. So we came up with a plan that she's going to tell them that her sister's coming, and she's going to call them over and say, you know, what should I surprise my sister with? So this daughter said this, and this daughter said this, and she put that jewelry away, and it was Shabbos of Gadol, and I took it out, and I gave it to them. They could not stop laughing how I guessed what they wanted. Then they chab what I did. I was so happy that I did this. The next year, I'm trying to figure out how can I do this again. That trick worked once. I think I can work a second time. See, when you're very happy what you do, you want to do it again. But if you tell yourself, my davening yesterday was worthless. You know, my davening. Then you're not going to improve it. But if you say, I had a hard time davening, and I pushed myself. I had a hard time getting up in the morning. But I did push myself to do the right thing. I have a big yetzer hara, whatever there is, be kashas or tzniyas or whatever is bothering you. But I overcome it. You focus on that, you are going to do a better job next time. So he's saying, find the good things about you. That is going to make you alert and be connected to Hashem. Because you're anyways doing it. See, we're all sitting here. We keep kosher. And we spend money on kashrus. And we spend money sending the children to school. And we do so much, we just don't connect the dots. So when you say, I did the right thing today. I am keeping kosher. I daven. All that things makes a person much, much closer. He says an amazing thing. He says, it's a shchira ani venuva. That's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. So the Kita Aluch says like shchira ani means I am black. The Rambam says I'm dirty. Shchira anu. It's talking. If you learn Shir Hashirim, it's talking about the yiriyos. The yiriyos are the put up a tent, and the tent blackened from the sun shining on it. So he says shchira anu. The tent blackened. Venuv. So the Medrash says an incredible Medrash. Shchira ani, I am black. Do you know for what I'm black? For my sins of the chetu eagle. We made an eagle. But novani, I'm beautiful with the Mishkan. We build the Mishkan. Now, the Mishkan was built after the eagle to misaken the chet hu eagle. We made a gold calf. Boy, did we fail. And he said, build a Mishkan, that's going to be, well, you're so proud that you have a Mishkan. I mean, why do you have a Mishkan? You failed. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't look at it. The Ribbono Shel Olam put into the whole world tshuva that the world could fail, and he's going to fix it. It might fail, and he's going to fix it. So the person said, Shchoirani, you know, there's darkness in me. The darkness is the ego, the nova, but the beautiful of the Mishkan. That means the telling, even though I sinned, I did something terrible. Vanova, there's the beauty of the Mishkan. And let me tell you an incredible, profound thing that Menachem says in one of his teachings. And the Kitta Aluchas explains over here. You know, there was a mitzvah to bring, but the donation of the Mishkan, 15 things. You know, Zov, gold, Tesev, Nechoshes, a whole list of things. Tcheles, Argumant, Tlashuni, Eitzveres, a list of things. The Reb Nachman says it's based on a Zohar that, you know, there's colors. You know, people have told me that there's programs. Ask, what does color blue mean to you? What does color... You know, there is such a concept in Kabbalah. Why you like this color? Why not another color? Why you like gold? Why you donated silver? The donation of all this is the nekudas toivus, is the goodness of everyone. See, I want to explain to you something very, very, very profound. No one looks like you. Do you know that? Every one of us is custom made. Do you know that? I have a twin brother, but he doesn't look like me. No matter, you know, they used to think identical twins have the same DNA. That's been proven wrong. That is already proven that they have different DNAs, you know, to the of the days. No one, can you imagine, no one ever looked like you. No one ever will look like you. No, you are unique. You're unique. You're custom made. Sometimes when you get overwhelmed with your problems, I always tell myself, I'm custom made by Hashem. He made me. Most of our problems we don't choose. Sometimes we do invite problems, but most often it's what it is. Is that you are unique. And the same thing around says, every person has a unique goodness in themselves. And the Mishkan was a goodness of everyone that what they brought into the Mishkan. So even though Shchoirani, I mean, I'm blackened, the Nova, I'm still beauty with the Mishkan which I donated. That means you should tell yourself, what he's explaining, that I am good. See, the Yetzer Hara tries to, you know what, one of the amazing parts of the Yetzer Hara, I'll tell you what, he lets you keep all the details, but don't have a relationship with Hashem. It's amazing. And that he allows you, you know, a woman who hears this better than men, men tell me, all Sunday I spend time with my wife, and after, you know, doing all the errands, and then all of a sudden at night, my wife says to me, I don't feel connected to you. What have we been doing all Sunday over here? What does that mean? They don't feel the emotions. They want to feel the feelings. So Lahavdil with Hashem is the same way. We do the deeds, but we don't get the emotions. They get in touch with the emotions when you get connected to the good deeds that you do. So he says, even though, I mean, to wake up, to Iru Ashucha means to wake up the darkness. The morning is, at night was dark, the morning is light. So he explains that to wake up the darkness, you have to find the good points in yourself. That wakes up the darkness in a person. See, in the same Kapitel Tillim, there's a very, very, very profound pasuk. The pasuk says like this. Dovid the Melech says in Tillim, in Esek Shemayim, if I climb the heaven, let me just start with the pasuk before that. He says like this, Unu Eilech Mirichechu, where can I go away from your spirit? Unu Mipunechu Ebrech, where can I run? You know, there's a part of us who just wants to run. Run! David the Melech says this about himself. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I run from you? There's a part of us who wants to, when we get down, we just want to run and shed our responsibilities. Even though that you can't. But that's the feeling we have. And then he says, in a sak shemayim, if I climb heaven shamatu, you're there. At tzir she'ol, if I spread out in hell, kineku, you're there. God is all over. There's no place to run. But there's a part of a person who wants to run. He wants to. There's a rebellious part of every person. We all have a rebellious part. So, but he's saying over here that a person has to, when he's down. And he, not just when you're down especially, but whenever you doubt yourself, think about the good deeds that you have done. And doing it because I'm a Jew. I davened, I kept kosher, I did the right thing. That is your part of being Jewish. And that is going to awaken you. That's called the Iru Hashucha. You know, there's another pasuk he explains in great detail at length. He says, there's a pasuk, he says, Yoinusi bechagve hasela. In Shir HaShirim, there's a verse that says, the Yoina is hiding in the cracks of the mountains. Now, do you know why the Shechina is always as a Yoina? So the Medrash says a very interesting thing. Yoina is a dove. Why is always in Shir HaShirim compared? A dove, dove lays two eggs. One is a male, one is a female. And they mate, and they mate for life. If one of them dies, he'll never seek another mate. That's what Chazal say. That's the dove that represents. Yoinusi b'chag b'hasela. The yoina is in the cracks of the stones. In the darkness of darkness. And you know what it says? It goes on, Shir HaShirim. Hareini es mareich, show me your beauty. And show me your voice. See, what happens is, if you think about the goodness that you have done, the good points that you've done, that's going to awaken you. See, that the truth is, every soul yearns for the relationship with Hashem. Just like a healthy person yearns to have a mate. A man needs a woman needs a man. Your soul yearns for the relationship with Hashem. This is very important to remember. And part of our unhappiness is when that doesn't get fulfilled. When that doesn't get fulfilled, there's a part of a deep loneliness in us, which also makes us unhappy. And he's saying, but he's explaining over here, when you focus on the good things on yourself, you literally bring yourself out of the gloom and you connect to the goodness, because the goodness you did is the godliness in yourself. Because the pasuk says, Toiv Hashem lakoil. Hashem is good. The essence of Hashem is good. And any goodness that you do, you get connected to Hashem. And when you think about it, that makes a person incredible, uplifting, and happy. So, in this Torah here, he goes into deep Kabbalistic things. I'm going to try to explain it. He says, when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, he says, so he was good. Interesting. Rashi, you know what good means? The whole house lit up when Moshe Rabbeinu was born. And the Zohar says, Moshe Rabbeinu was totally good of goodness. Because the tzaddikim have the power to draw goodness to them. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when Klal Yisrael sinned, how did he get him to do tshuva with the Chetor Egel? He focused on the goodness of everyone. You know, this is something you should all try. When, try to meditate you know, you have someone you dislike. I don't know anyone who doesn't have a disloom who doesn't dislike someone. We have to have someone we dislike. And why don't you just take this someone and find the good points about them? You'll be amazed. Someone told me, I once gave this lesson, and someone told me an incredible story that happened to him. He's a wealthy person, and he has many children, and one teenager was giving them the run for their life. And he found there's a famous counselor in Israel who deals with troubled teens. An American who lives in Israel calls him up. He's an L.A. rich person. So I thought, I'm going to get an appointment tomorrow. I'll take a plane. Call him up. And, I have this problem. I need an appointment. The guy says, I don't have an appointment another 6 weeks. So I'll pay you double. I'll pay you triple. He says, I'm sorry. I don't work this way. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. I'm not going to push someone off because you want to come. 6 weeks when I have an appointment. So he says to him, I want to tell you what you should do until 6 weeks. He asks him, when is your quiet time? When do you have a quiet time? He says, when I drive home, I don't undertake, I take some time. When I drive home, I drive home alone. I want you to think about the good things about your son. Think about the good things. That's all you should think. Not that he's giving you a hard time, they kicked him out of school and he got a 50 on the test. Forget all that. Focus just the good things that he does. He asks his wife on the phone, when is your quiet time? He says, I love to, when I wash dishes, that's when I love them. I want you to think just about the goodness of your son. And he tells him, do me a favor, if you're coming, call me up a week before, like you're coming. I'm keeping your appointment in case you don't come. He says to me, this is the wealthy person says to me, 5 weeks later, I went anyways. I called him up. In 5 weeks, my son changed. He says, I don't know, I didn't do anything. I just listened to him because I was just desperate. See, we don't even realize how negative we are, which is true. How incredible. The trick is, what Malachi says in this Torah, to look at the goodness of a person. Do not focus. And many people ask me, you don't have to fool yourself. You can know if a guy is dishonest. I know my neighbor is dishonest, but I don't focus on her dishonesty. Or I have someone, a relative who likes to gossip, speak Lashon Hara. Okay, but that's not how we are. We love to find, you look at someone, they have this problem, that problem, I don't have that problem, and I am a different category, and sort of we pat ourselves on the shoulders, we are good. The trick of this is to focus on the goodness of others and the goodness of yourself too. So he explains the entire, he says, in Tillim, it's a pity we don't all have a Tillim in front of us, but I'll say Baal Peh. I want to show you how he explains it very perfectly. So let me just say the pasuk. It says, Hashem mura bitzura, how great is my tormentors. Rabin kovim alai, many rise up against me. So he explains the pasuk this way. In the sins of a person, the Zohar says, chases the person. It's very a little bit frightening. When you sin, all the sins, if you don't do tshuva, literally chase you. He says, Hashem, murabi tsumai. I rabin kumalai. I did a lot of mistakes, and they are the ones standing up against me. Rabim omri nafshi. Many say to my soul, ain shusiloi. There's no hope for you. We walk around, often, hopelessness. Sometimes you want to change a habit. You have it. You say, we give up yish. We give up quickly. So he says, and the pussy goes on. And he says, "Ani shechafti veshin. I lay down. I'm asleep. Even though I'm asleep, hikisoisi. I wake myself up. Ki Hashem, the godliness in mo yismecheni is going to hold me up. By looking at the good things of yourself, you get connected to Hashem." He says. That's in capital base, Gimel. See, this capital, let me explain to you this capital. Let me tell you an interesting story about this capital. Mizmoir le David bevarchoi lipnei avashulam benoi. This is a composed tillim that he sang when he's running from his son. And the Gemara asked the Kasha, you know what the story was? Avashulam, the son of David, tried to kill him. He was almost successful by a year. I don't want to go in detail. It's horrible what he did. He took all the Dovid HaMelech's wives on the roof and he raped 10 of them in front of everyone. He was horrendous. And he almost killed his father. And Dovid HaMelech is singing. The Gemara says, singing? Your son is about to kill you. You sing? The Gemara says, you should have cried. So there's three answers. One answer, the Gemara says, Dovid HaMelech knew he was going to get punished because he sinned with Bathsheba. So he figured that, you know, someone's going to stand up against me and going to wipe the whole family. It's my own son. He's not going to wipe everyone out. Someone is going to survive. He was singing. The Medrash says the reason he was singing, because he saw he has good company running. Sanhedrin was running. Avihu Sarkoyan. I'm not alone. So he sang. Third opinion, he says, you know why he was singing? He said, I'm getting punished. So I'm going to get Olam Haba. I'm getting really punished. I'm going to get Olam Haba. See, most of us, when we're running for our lives, we don't have the sanity and clearness to sing now because people are running. When you're running for your life. You know what I mean? Afterwards, we say, oh, Gamzi L'Toyva, you know, we lost something, a business deal, something terrible happened. Then we pat ourselves and say, it must be something good. But while you're running for your life, we don't have the head on our shoulders to... Dovid HaMelech's greatness was, while he was running, he was able to see goodness around him. He said, I'm going to sing to Hashem. This is incredible. I am running for my life. Dovid, if you read the story in Nach, he was running for his life. He knew that his son gets him his chopped liver. There was nothing to talk about it. So, but still, he did not lose himself and he says, great! I have good company running with me. Oh, great! I'll get Olam Haba. See, we are not that way. We are, first we fall totally onto the floor, and then we say, oh, maybe some good is going to come out of it. That's how we are. But the Kitta is explaining, we should focus and say, everything is good. You know, I want to tell you something for everyone. We have the gift of life. We are living. Tomorrow is going to be a day. You know what your tomorrow day is going to be? It all depends on you how you're going to make your day tomorrow. You can make tomorrow, I want to tell you a personal story. I took my children many years ago to Disneyland. And this goes back 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And I wasn't feeling well, so I sent them in with my wife and the children. Went to Disneyland. My children were young. And on the front, there's a big sign, the happiest place on earth. Right? Anyone who went? Happiest place on earth. So I was looking, watching the pictures, if anyone was happy. All I noticed that people was, pulling, coming. The only thing that I noticed happy, if it was a date, a boy and a girl, you know. But otherwise, with a family, or a boy and a shaloylam, no. It was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. So what does it mean the happiest place on earth? You know when the happiest place on earth is? When you make it the happiest place on earth. You got to make it the happiest place on earth. It's not. See, we wait. We wait for others to make us happy. One of my children had to go through chemotherapy. So, Hashem, he's doing well. But I remember he was a teenager. And so there was a counselor. She's a social worker helping the teenagers cope. She said to me that the religious boys who don't have a television are easier to make them happy. I says, really? Why? This is what she told me. She says, because people have television are waiting the television to make them laugh. There's a show and there's a, what's called, laugh track it's called? What is it called in English? Laugh track. I grew up without a television in the hospital. I don't know why people were laughing, but if they're laughing in the background, everyone has to laugh. So the waiting, the thing, but someone doesn't have a television, she said to me, they know how to make themselves happy. You got to make yourselves happy, not wait for someone to make you happy. This is what he explains in the whole morning davening. He says, we say, He gave me the wisdom to make difference night and day. That means Hashem gave the wisdom to find the goodness in life. To say, bracha, shlo yisani goy. I am a Jew. The fact that I'm a Jew, I'm not a slave, or a Pekeich Ibrahim. He opened my eyes to see the goodness. See, in short, this entire long piece is trying to tell you, focus on your own good. You're allowed to walk and I'll say, I am so happy. Like I was so happy that Yom Tov, you know, that I tricked my wife and daughters. It was amazing. You know, I tried to replay it and it wasn't successful. But, you know, when you do something, you're very proud of it, you're going to do it the next time again. You have to every day say, Baruch Hashem, I live today and I did a certain amount of mitzvahs. Not saying, well, my davening was this and this was this. Don't criticize yourself. Say, okay, I'll do it better tomorrow. And this needs work. It doesn't come by itself. You know, I gave this class over here. This is something you got to take with you and think about it. We most often are critical about others and even about yourself. We self-criticize ourselves. We self-doubt ourselves. Now, it doesn't mean you should walk around arrogant. That has nothing to do. Just to walk around, yes, I am doing a great job. I remember one of my daughters is a man, can I remember the first child she had, and she says, is that what I'm going to be doing, pampering babies? And she was asking me, happened to be very bright, this daughter. So I says, every time you pamper a baby, you think you're doing such a great deed. Now you're doing a great mitzvah. You are pampered too. And you're going to pamper the next generation. You know, but this is, instead of looking at, you know, I'm doing something great. It has to do with your attitude. And this does not come by itself. You must focus. And to change this, you got to really work on it. Instead of, you know, nothing wrong is saying, great, I did many mitzvahs today. But what does to a person, it makes them in a different mood, and it makes them much more connected to Hashem. So, I want to give you all a challenge, and say to you all that you should, you know, why don't you this week, every day, take 10 minutes, and say a look at your good deeds that you have done. Slowly, it doesn't come overnight. You know, people have told me, heard this from many people, unfortunately, who grew up in a very critical home, and they tell me they have a tape in their head that nothing is good what you do. You could undo it, unwind it, and put a new tape in your head. But you have to do it. You have to look at yourself and say to yourself, I, Baruch Hashem, and keep kosher. And it's difficult to keep kosher. And I keep Hilchos Shabbos, and I keep Hilchos Tzinius, and I keep whatever you keep. You should say, this is who I am. And the more you do this, he explains, the more you get in touch with the goodness of it, that's a toiv Hashem lekoil, you get closer to Hashem. Try to remember this, Marshall. In a relationship, we need two things. When your husband or your wife, you just can say, I cooked dinner, I did the shopping, and I did all the... If there's no warmth flowing from each other, the relationship is not a relationship. You know, there's a pasuk that says, I want to tell you a very interesting pasuk. And in Parshas Kisuva, it says, why did the Toichacha come? The Toichacha meant, what did he say, Toichacha in English? The whole rebuke. So the pasuk says, Tachas asher levadotu es Hashem elokimcha besimcha, b'tiv leivav emreiv koil. So, it was one of the difficult things. How do you explain this? Because I didn't do happiness? That's why the Holocaust happened and the Harbin happened because we were not happy? Let me tell you something. Imagine a couple living together. And he says, I married her. I'm going to do exactly what I need to do. I'm going to go to work, make sure there's a roof over the head for her too, and there's food for her. But I don't care about her. I really would rather not work for her. But I'm in it. And she says the same thing. I really don't want to be over here. And I'm doing it because I got a mom, so I'm going to do what wife needs to do, and I'll do the cooking. How long do you think this is going to last? How the hell is it going to last? It would blow up. Even when the best circumstances, we get annoyed with each other. I always tell young people that, you know, you're allowed to get annoyed at your spouse. Don't you get annoyed at yourself? I mean, you're allowed to get annoyed at yourself. Your spouse can't get annoyed with you. What's with that? We all get annoyed at ourselves. No, we. Why can't the spouse be annoyed with you? You know, but the truth, if you think about this, is the way to, if a person would do everything, is I have to do it platz. In Yiddish we call it platz. But if you put love into it, that lasts. What you have to do, to think about the good things that you're doing, and that is connecting me to Hashem. That is so powerful. It makes the relationship with you, Hashem, incredible, because we don't wake up feeling Hashem. You wake up seeing your wife and children, and you know, if you have a good relationship, it reminds you. You get a hug, and you do for each other. She cooks, and you do whatever you do for each other, so you see it. Our relationship with Hashem, we need to put in. So let me end with this, that I want to tell you all. Happiness does not come by itself. The only people are happy who conscientiously decides to be happy. That's a fact. And there are people who suffer from clinical depression, no question. I'm talking about a general population. If you see someone as happy because he conscientiously decided to be happy. And we could do it. You know, often people say, you know, Rabbi, I can't do it. So I always joke with them, for $10 million, do you think you'd be happy this year? If I give you $10 million, all I want from you is to smile all day long. I think for five, you'll also do it. Maybe for one, too. That means you could do it. That's very good. Why can't you? Of course we could. We don't want to. There's a part of us who loves to fetch. You know, I have in my family introduced the thing. My children go on. I introduce something that everyone has to thank Hashem. The children. It's amazing till you get them to thank Hashem. It's, you know, kvetching. They walk through the door and they know how to kvetch. If the moms do carpool, or if I have to do carpool, I don't have to say anything. You get into the car and there's a whole choir of kvetching. The teacher was in fear, and she didn't mark me right, and my friend was not nice to me, and she didn't walk me to the school. It's a choir. I remember Hashem, all married today besides one, the youngest, but it was a choir. Kvetching, we know how to do perfect. No, you ever notice a two-year-old? The two-year-olds put out a tantrum. The same two-year-old who lives in L.A. makes the same tantrum as the one in Israel and the one in Africa. Who gave me such a good lessons? Amazing. The two-year-old puts up the tantrum so geschmack. It's amazing. See, no one has to be taught to kvetch. No one has to be taught to be angry. As I said, no one went to a therapist and says, I don't know how to get angry. Please teach me how to get angry. That we know how to be critical, we know how to be angry, we know how to be pouty. I think the word is pouty in English. All the negative, that works by itself. To be happy, you must conscientiously do it. And what Rav Nachman says over here, to do this, find the good things. Even in Yishon Bayis, if you focus the goodness of your spouse, you'll notice Yishon Bayis will rise incredible. I challenge you all to do this. You see, because, you know, we are critical. We are natural critical. You know, someone told me, I said once this many years ago, and someone showed me an incredible report in UCLA. They took people from the faculty who claimed to have a great, good relationship. They only have these ones who claim to have a great Shalom Bayis. You know, didn't take just married, even boys and girls who were living together claimed to have a great. They all want to just have the tape recorder for dinner. What to hear? 80% of the comments was negative. How come it's not salty? How come this is not salty? What happened today? Instead of saying, thank you for the soup. You made my wonderful soup. Can you just please pass me the salt? I mean, they go on and on. And they claim to have a good relationship. This is when you have a good one already. See, we are extremely negative. And to change this, you have to work. It doesn't come overnight. From one night of speaking, it's not going to change. This is an exercise you should do. And if you focus on the good things that you do, you will be much more connected to Hashem. Anyways, thank you very much, all of you.